invite you to stand with us as we seek Him together. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Father, Lord, we would echo those words. We would trust You, Lord Jesus, that You are a God who loves to hear and to answer the cries of Your people. And so we would come to You this night with large petitions. We would come to You with hearts that are drawn out. We come to You filling our mouth with arguments. We come, Lord, to reason together. We come to unburden our conscience. Lord, though our sins are like scarlet, we trust that You, Lord, are one who can make them white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, we trust that by Your blood, You can make us just as wool. Oh, blessed Father, how we need that cleansing, renewing, and pardoning grace. We have not been valiant for the truth. We have not searched the Scriptures. We have not called the Sabbath a delight. We have not treated Your name, Your word, Your works with reverence. We have not sought You with the right heart. We have not sought You according to the rule. We confess that we have not known and acknowledged and glorified You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We confess to You, Lord, that our sins, Lord, they have mounted up to the heavens. They are more than the hairs of our head. Lord, they eat away at our souls. They cripple our walk with You. Lord, we acknowledge that by our sins we grieve Your Spirit. We grieve Your Son. We dishonor Your name. We wound Your people. Father of glory, would You hear our petitions? Lord, hear our confessions. Lord, we ask that You would blot out our transgressions. Lord, that You would indeed make us white as snow. Lord, that You would indeed draw near. And Lord, that You would forgive and that You would pardon. Lord, that You would bend Your ear. Lord, we confess, Lord, we know, we acknowledge that we have vexed and spurned Your Spirit. Lord, that we have not been led by Your Spirit. We've not been led by Your truth. Lord, we confess that we have grown cold and callous, that we've sinned against much light and much mercy and much love. O Spirit of God, we pray, Lord, let the blood of Jesus, let that blood of the covenant be sprinkled upon us. Lord, we would rejoice this night in a perfect covenant, a perfect redemption, a perfect salvation, a perfect Savior. Lord Jesus, we would be glad on this night. We would be glad having heard and having sung of the love of Christ. Oh Lord, just as that first Lord's Day evening, Lord, we would ask that You would draw near and that You would speak peace, that You would speak peace to Your people. Lord, just as on that first Lord's Day evening, that You would walk among us, that You, our guard, our guide, our friend, Lord, that for any who are in seasons of doubt, in seasons of darkness, without any light, We pray that You would take us by the hand and that You would place our hand into Your own. That You would show us the scars. Lord, that You would show us the wounds. Oh, Lord Jesus, have You not done this with Your people throughout the ages? Oh, Lord, have You not given assurance? Father of glory, have You not assured Your tottering children again and again and again that You are the one who made man's mouth? You are the one whose sword and whose spirit is mighty to save. You are the one who splits the seas and makes a way for Your people to walk. You are the one, Lord Jesus, who bends our knees. You open our lips that we declare, "My Lord and my God." And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that You, from Your exalted position, that You would take Your weak and feeble children, children whom the Father has given You, would You take Your weak and feeble children and would You breathe Your Spirit upon us? Just as the Father sent You, would You send us out? Send us out as Your church. Lord, send us out filled with the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, pointing to the Spirit of God. We pray, oh Lord, that You would place Your sword in our hands. And Lord, that You would be the lifter of our hand, crying out for the sword of the Lord. That this sword is still sufficient. It is still mighty, just as sharp as it ever was. And we pray, O Lord, that by this sword, Lord, that by these words, people in the Wiregrass, people in the state of Alabama, people across this land, from the rising of the sun to its setting, that souls would know and believe that You, Lord Jesus, are indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that they would believe. We ask, Lord, that none would leave from this room tonight without trusting in the Word, in the person of the crucified, risen Christ. And, O Spirit of God, that You would come with power. Revive Your church in the midst of the years. Cause Your people to be valiant for the truth. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, our text will come from the New Testament, from the book of Romans. From Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is the passage that we read this past Sabbath evening, verses 14 through 17. This past Lord's Day evening, we considered the inheritance that you and I are heirs as the adopted sons and daughters of God. And we've been thinking for a few weeks on Lord's Day evenings about this sweetness of adoption, this legal declaration that you are now accepted in the beloved and you are accepted in the household. And that this is an acceptance, this is a new household that was predestined for you, completely apart from anything you would ever say or do. This was something that the Father of glory decreed. And He decreed to adopt you, to legally sit you at His table, to legally place His name upon you, to pour His love into your soul. That He decreed to do this in and for His own Son, that He would unite you to His Son. And as you are united to Christ, as you are bound to Christ, as you are clinging to Christ, drawing life from Him, the eternal Son of God, you also would be given that status as an adopted son or daughter. Tonight we'll focus. Yes, we are heirs of a new household, heirs of a new name and a new love. But in particular, you and I are heirs of the household ways. Just as with any household, there is a certain way. There are certain customs. There is a tradition. There is a leading. There is a mentoring. There is a household way. And that household way is that we are led by the Spirit of God as the sons of God. We'll read verses 14 through 17. And then this next Lord's Day evening, we'll consider together verses 16 and 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. You can tell a great deal about someone by their friends and their mentors. Mentors, or in many cases, the people you read, your mentors are your teachers. They're the ones who have shown you things. Your friends, in many ways, are your encouragers, your exhorters. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the two. You think of a person and you think, was this a friend or a mentor? Or are they both? Your friends and your mentors, they have a way of leading. They lead you. They influence you. They shape you. The Lord uses those people in your life to mold your thoughts, to encourage, to challenge, to shape. And there are times where you and I need our pace quickened. We need our thoughts shored up, and we need our assurance strengthened. He uses these people. You and I have been adopted into the household of faith, and just as with any good household, this household is led. It is led by a clear, certain voice. It is led. And if you notice verse 14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So who are the sons of God? Who are those adopted? Who are those given this new position as the adopted sons and daughters of God? Well, it's those who are led by the Spirit of God. Everyone is going to be led by something or someone. Everyone. Even the most independent-minded, autonomous individual in the room is still led in some way by something or someone. Y'all, for the adopted sons and daughters of God, they are led, they are driven, they are shaped by whom? You look at verse 14, led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. This is that distinction in the Trinity that was honed and hammered out in the fourth century. Fourth century, you have a whole church council to discuss what is the Spirit of God. And they conclude, gathering all of these statements from the Bible, the Spirit is a person of the Trinity. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. He's not a power. He's not an influence. He is not a feeling or a sentiment. He is no mere impersonal force. No, the Spirit of God is a person who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And this Spirit, He is the one who leads. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of adoption. Verse 15. He is the Spirit who cries in us, Abba, Father. We're coming back to that statement in Galatians chapter 4 in a parallel passage. Beyond the Spirit of God, what does He do? He leads. We are those who are led on by this distinct person of the Trinity. And so what does it mean to embrace this household way? That's what it is. These are the ways of the new household. To be led by the Spirit means there is a household hearing. And that's the first thing I want you to consider, that to be led by the Spirit of God means that there is a household hearing. That the Spirit leads with a voice. And the children of God follow the voice. There is a household way. And just as with any good household, a hearing is given. So where does the Spirit lead? How does the Spirit lead? Where is this hearing? When you and I bend our ears to the leading of the Spirit, what does that mean? When the church, so you can ask this question individually, how do you individually follow the voice, the leading of the Spirit? You can ask this question of the church at large. How does the church corporately, collectively, how does she follow the leading, the teaching of the Spirit of God? Different strands of church history, there are some who have said that the Spirit leads by this inner light. He gives an inner knowledge completely separate from the Bible. It's distinct from the Bible. And the Spirit gives you this light. And you have an enlightened sense of who He is. You can speak in the Spirit through this inner light. Y'all, how does the Spirit lead? How is His voice heard? Now, what does the Spirit do? According to the Bible, how does the Spirit lead? He gives you words. That the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul says through Timothy that this, He is breathed out. The Scriptures are breathed out They're given by inspiration of God. How do you have the Bible? It is through inspiration of the Spirit. How does the Spirit lead? He leads you through the words of the Bible. And all Scripture, Paul says, is breathed out by God, given by inspiration of God. That this Spirit of God, He moved these men along as they wrote and as they spoke. 2 Peter chapter 1. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1. What do you see? The Spirit uses the Word. He inspires the Word. He creates the Word. And then it is that Word that creates the church. No, if there is to be a leading of the Spirit, how does He do this? He will not do so apart from the Word. He will not lead contrary to the Word. So how does Jesus describe the Holy Spirit's mission? You could read through John chapters 14, 15, and 16 tonight before your head hits the pillow. And you could read these statements about what the Spirit does. One thing the Spirit does, John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, He's called the Spirit of adoption. John chapter 16, He's the Spirit of truth. What does the Spirit of truth do? He leads you into all truth. How does the Apostle Paul describe the sons of God? They are led by the Spirit. How does the Spirit lead? He leads you into all truth. He will not lead you away from truth. He will not lead inconsistent with the truth. No, He leads you into what is right, what is true, what is good. So, the supreme standard, whenever there is a question of what is right and true, this is in chapter 1 of the Westminster Confession. Whenever there is a question about what is right in the Bible, what should we believe? What should we do? When that question is raised, the supreme voice that the church collectively, as well as you individually, the voice that the church should hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Scriptures. It's Westminster Confession, chapter 1, paragraph 10. The voice of the Spirit speaking where? He speaks through the Scriptures. It is the Spirit who gives you the Word. It is the Spirit who's the supreme judge of what is right and true. It is the Spirit who calls you out of light, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, convincing you of your sin and misery, enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ, renewing your will, persuading you to embrace Jesus Christ, who is freely offered in the gospel. If you've embraced Christ, that embracing has been released and made willing due to the Spirit of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There's a household hearing. And y'all, this is why we practice the reading, the preaching, the praying, the singing of the Bible morning and evening. Gathered public worship on the Lord's Day. Why? Because we need the voice of the Spirit leading His children into all truth. And where is that truth found? Through the leading of the Scriptures. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There's a household way. It's a hearing. As families, what do? We hear each other. We hear stories that are passed down. We hear the histories. We gather. There is a household hearing. And the Spirit of God is the one who not only gave you the objective standard, He also makes you inwardly able to respond to it. What does the Spirit do? He makes you new. He regenerates you. You're born again. You have a new affection. So remember, adoption is an external act. Just like justification. Adoption, justification, these are external legal acts. These are things that are done for you. Things that are done to you. Okay? You are declared not guilty. You are declared righteous. You are declared a son or a daughter. Those are external acts. What else does the Spirit do? He works on the inside of you and does things in you. Within you, there is an inward work. So there's an external work of the gospel, and then there's an inward work of the gospel. There's an external declaration about you. Christ is crucified for you, but then there's also an inward work of the gospel. The Spirit of Christ works inside you. It is the Spirit of Christ who dwells in you. And what does the Spirit do? He makes you able to respond to that hearing. When the Scriptures are read, when they are proclaimed, when they are sung, who is the one who stirs your soul to cry out and to sing? Who is the one who gladdens the soul of a believer? No, is it not the Spirit of God? He's the one who plants this new life in you. He is the one who sanctifies. And how does He sanctify? He uses the truth. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. How are you led? You're led by the truth. How are you able to embrace and understand the truth? Well, He works on the inside of you, giving you new life and sanctifying you. So, there's a household hearing. He gives you what is to be read and heard and embraced. He makes you able to respond to it. And He is the gatherer. He is the one who gathers you to that household reading. He is the one who's convinced you of your sin and misery. He is the one who has shown you the beauty of Christ. He is the one who has led you by the hand. He is the one who has enabled you to repent and believe. He is the one who has held your chair and gathered you at the table. He's the gatherer, led by the Spirit of God. There's a household hearing. But the last thing I want you to hear, there's a household hearing, but then there's also a household walk. In this household way, in these household customs, there is a hearing. There are words to be embraced. And you are gathered and enabled to hear and to respond to those words. There is also a household walk. There is a household practice. So we sit under the Word, but then we respond to that sitting under the Word with a walk of holiness. There is a practice of piety. There is a practice of reverence joined with love for God. There is a practice of the principles. There is a practice of the law. For us, on this side of our adoption, y'all, the law is no longer our curse. The law is not our dread. No, the law is our delight. The law is the word of our Father who is kind and good. The law is now, it is our relish, it is our portion, it is our desire. We seek to be imitators of our Father in heaven. And we seek to serve Him not with the dread of a slave, but with the joy of a son or a daughter. A servant would simply stand back with cap in hand, awaiting his or her instructions. And there is a sense in which a Christian is a servant. There is a sense in which we await. We stand back with reverence and we await our instructions with cap in hand. There is a sense in which you and I are servants. Everything we are and have is yielded unto Him. But y'all, in the words and the image used of Luther, there is also a sense in which we are children who run and we rush into the very lap of our Father. Luther used this vivid language. Rush into the very lap of our Father. So the obedience of a Christian, the holiness of a Christian, the walk of a Christian is one that is marked with a love and with a trust. It's a filial. Filial means family. It is a filial or a family-oriented love and trust. A trust in His words. A trust in His commandments, that whatever He commands is right, that He will never command us what is wrong or dark. He will never tell us to do something for our harm. No, He is a Father who speaks with kindness. Whatever He ordains is right, whatever He commands is good, and that you can trust. There is a love, there is a trust. There is a deep joy. You love to hear the words of a good father. As you grow in understanding and maturity, you love to hear the words of instruction. Hear, my son. How do the words of Proverbs, how do they read? Hear, my son. Hear these words. They are life for your soul. There is a household walk. It is the practice of holiness. And it is what, if you would read Romans chapter 8, it is what the Apostle Paul describes in this entire chapter. Look, just as an example. Look at verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is it to be a Christian? It is to walk. And how do we walk? Hear these words, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You listen to these words. Listen to verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen to these words. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Not only, get this, not only does the Spirit of God enable you to walk in holiness, to walk conforming to the pattern of the law. Look at what Paul is saying. It is the Spirit who will raise your body just as Christ's physical body was raised. No, this is a whole gospel, body and soul. What does the Spirit do? He leads. And how does He lead? He leads by the truth. Look at what will happen. At the end of the age, this Spirit will lead you. He will lead your physical frame out of the grave. He will lead you to hear the voice of the Son of God. He will lead you to see with your own eye, the Son of God returned from heaven? This is a Spirit who leads comprehensively, body and soul. And between now and that day that your physical body is raised, look at what He enables you to do. Look at verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He enables you to put those sins, those soul and body destroying sins to death. He is the one who does this, not in your own strength. As we get to Galatians chapter 4 on Lord's Day mornings, we're going to consider how the Spirit moves and stirs the soul to pray. Exactly what Paul deals with here in Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Y'all, this is life in the Spirit. There is a household way that involves hearing His words and then walking in His paths, walking in the law. Y'all, what is it to be filled with the Spirit? It is to be filled with His words. What is it to be driven by the Spirit? Y'all, the apostles are described in the book of Acts as being filled with the Spirit. And what do they do when they are filled with the Spirit? They pray and they preach. They talk to God, they pour out their souls before God, and then they speak. Now, you need that filling of the Spirit in your own speech, in your own patience, in your own steadiness, in your own practice. Led by the Spirit of God. So much more could be said about the leading of the Spirit in the making of decisions, of the leading of the Spirit in His works of providence, the timing, the crossings, the details, the arrangements. So much could be said. But you take these words with you, that the Spirit leads. There is a household way that is mentored and exhorted by the Spirit of God. He exhorts and He mentors through this hearing, the hearing of the words. You and I need as much of the words of the Spirit as we can get to fortify, to encourage, to exhort, to quicken, to mend our pace. And He's the one who trains you in a certain way to walk. He trains you in these paths. The prophet Jeremiah, he speaks of standing by the way and asking for the old paths where the good way is and walking in it. And may the Spirit of God, may He equip you to stand by the way, to look and to ask for those old paths where the good way is, and that you would walk in it. You're the sons and daughters of God. You are the adopted household of Christ. You are among the children who have been given to Christ. You have had His name emblazoned across your soul. You are not who you once were. You have been positioned by this eternal decree. You have been raised to sit with Him in heavenly places. You have been united with Christ. And because of that union, you now are joint heirs. You now possess His Spirit. You now, not sometime in the future, but now you possess that earnest of eternal life. Life, eternal life. It is here. It is here in this room. It is now in the hearing of the words, in your response to the words, in your practice of the words. Oh, that His Spirit, that He would draw near in power. He's the Spirit of revival. He's the Spirit of reformation. He's the Spirit of truth. Without Him, we're nothing. Brothers, sisters, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And may He sweetly and precisely lead you. May He give you a hearing. May He place your feet in the very prints of the Savior. May He steady your walk, steady your steps, and keep you pressing on toward that mark. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, we would fall before the majesty of Your throne as those who have been made new by the Spirit of God, warmed in affection by the Spirit of God. You have given us to hear that our souls would live. You have given us feet that long and that ask for the old paths. O Spirit of the living God, that You would lead us individually, Lord, that You would lead our families, and Lord, that You would lead Your church, that You would lead us by the truth, and Lord, that You would reclaim us if ever we wander from the truth. Lord, would You convict us and lead us back to these paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Lord, give us a sweet, firm, joyful trust this night. And Lord, give us to rush, to rush into the presence of a gracious, reconciled Father. And Lord, let our sleep and our meditation be sweet. This we ask in Jesus' name.